As the year winds down, take a moment to think about the songs, the stories, and the voices you've enjoyed on the SoCal Sound. Please become a new member, renew your lapsed membership, or make an additional year-end donation to fuel this vital community service. Thank you for giving now at thesocalsound.org.
Hey, it's Matt Pinfield, and it's time for another Pinfield session, and I'm very excited to have Amanda Shires here. Amanda, thank you so much for coming and doing this show and hanging out with me and doing one of the sessions, because I love that. One of the great things about KCSN and the SoCal Sound is, you know, that we love to have artists like yourself in here, and I know you've been here before, so this is my first time to get to interview you and hang out with you, which I was so excited about, because I'm a big fan of yours.
It's a pleasure to be here, for real, and sit across the table from you.
Yeah, it's awesome. So I just want to tell you, it's great to have you back, and you're about to, you just released your eighth album, all right? Nobody's Girl. Tell me about the, and you used the same producer who did Take It Like a Man, last record.
My friend Lawrence Rothman helped me produce this, and yeah, it's called Nobody's Girl.
Yeah. So Nobody's Girl, tell me a bit about the title, because I love that.
Thank you. It's, for a long time I was part of a partnership, and I was a wife and a side man, and it's a kind of a declaration that I belong to my own self now. It's not really meant to be a lonely title. Yeah, I belong to myself now, and I'm not anybody's anything, and it's kind of standing in that and loving it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, music has been a part of your life since you were a young child, right? You know, and there's a great story about your dad buying you that first Chinese-made fiddle.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, and how old were you then? Were you about
10.
10 years old?
Yeah, 10 years old.
Tell me, so was there always a lot of music around the house when you were a kid?
They played, like my dad, he'd listen to the radio and he'd listen to classic rock and country music, like 90s country, and my mom did that too. But nobody really played instruments. I just saw that in the A.D. Garrett's pawn shop in Mineral Wells, Texas, when my dad was buying a new hunting knife, like the kind with the compass on the back. Yeah.
And it's cool. You just saw it on the wall. And
we didn't have any money. We weren't like a family of any means. And I'd convinced him that I needed this thing, and he made me swear that I would learn how to play it. So, yeah, I think $60 was not a lot for some people, but it was everything to...
Yeah, because everything counted, you know what I mean? I can understand and relate to that as a family, that when we were, when I was born in Athens, Georgia, when my parents moved back up to New Jersey, where they were from, we didn't have a telephone. So, like, you know what I mean? In the 60s. Yeah. So, like, we couldn't afford a phone. I was home phone. So I can relate. I understand those things. But that's amazing. And so that you kind of, at that period of time, you lived between two places, right? It was kind of like...
Yeah, my dad lived in Mineral Wells, and then my mom was living in Lubbock, Texas. It's about 4.5 hours or so drive between.
Yeah, and Lubbock is where you were born.
Well, I was born in Mineral Wells.
Oh, Mineral Wells, okay.
But I have to claim that I'm from both, because if I don't say I'm from Mineral Wells, my dad would get mad. If I don't say I'm from Lubbock, my mom would get mad. So I have to say I'm Amanda Shires, and I'm from Lubbock and Mineral Wells, Texas.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, there's such a, you know, the music richness in that area too. And being one of, like, a Buddy Holly fan since I was a child, you know what I mean? And I just fell in love with Buddy Holly's music with this album called A Rock and Roll Collection when I was a young boy. I was, you know, Lubbock was where he was buried and, you know, where he, of course, grew up. And I always wanted to make a pilgrimage. I've never been there.
Oh, you should. So, there's even a Buddy Holly museum, and it has his, like, contact lenses and all kinds of his guitars and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and his Norm Petty studio in Clovis, New Mexico isn't far from there either,
right? No, it's about 2 hours away.
Yeah. So there's all that history. I've got a reason I've
got
to go.
Yeah, but you've got to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me about, I'm working on songs for the new record. How long, what was your process when it comes to songwriting for you?
This time I was just, a lot of people like to call it a divorce album, which it's not, because it's after that. It's the aftermath of that and processing that along the way in real time to get to the end and get through that those emotions and things. And so I was just selfishly writing for myself. Usually I like to do a lot of other kinds of topics, whether it be making some kinds of change in the world or anything like that. But I had to use it to get through the like the lowest feelings of my life and kind of as a way to start rebuilding and sorting through it. So I just started singing and playing to myself, really. And then when I'd get to the end of a song, I'd record it. And if I still liked it, then I would show Lawrence. And if I didn't, I'd throw it away.
Yeah. And it was a cathartic thing. And it's also, you know.
Definitely.
Moonlight climbed through the windows, and I followed it back out to the middle of the yard. And I laid myself right down and borrowed light and stretched out like a star. Taking in the night chores, just existing can be hard. Maybe living is an art. Shoreline, still too cold for summer clothes. True, I dove in on a dare, but I'd have done it anyway, we both know. I say, gather the wind in your fists. Perfect conditions don't exist. Living's what I call it. Crazy doesn't fit. Just existing can be hard. Maybe living is an art. Today, pruning trees, cutting back honey locust thorns. Blood ran red and warm. Guess I'm learning firsthand again. Pain can live on its own and get past your skin. I'm living when I'm honest. It can be punishing. And just existing can be hard. Maybe living is an art.
Your first solo record in 2005, right?
Some people confuse my first solo record as my artist record, which it wasn't. Like, I have this, it's like mostly fiddle tunes. It was when I was playing with Billy Joe Shaver and these other
legend,
like,
by the way.
Texas Playboys and these other folks. They had their their instrumental records they would sell alongside the main records for to supplement the income, so to say. And on that record, I put a couple of songs I made up, because I didn't want to have to pay the Harry Fox agency some kind of money for doing a cover or something.
Yeah.
And made the mistake of putting it on Billy Joe Shaver's merch table without asking first, but I didn't know I had to ask first.
Yeah, you were young.
How
old were you at that point?
18 or 21. Yeah. But it was something everybody else did all the time, so I thought that was normal.
Yeah.
Billy Joe put the record in the CD player of the car the next day as we were driving to another gig, and I was so nervous, and he was like, "You write that?" And I was like, "Yep." And then more fiddle tunes and then another one. He was like, "You should move to Nashville and be a songwriter. You really got something, you know." And I thought he was trying to gently fire me.
Yeah.
And I said, "I don't want to do that. I love my job. Please don't fire me.
Yeah.
We don't have to set the CD out." And then a year later, I decided to be a songwriter. And so I moved to Nashville to pursue my dreams of waiting tables.
Well, I mean, everybody, right? When they
first because I had to tell myself that I couldn't. I was so stuck in the sideman role. I was having trouble getting booked as an artist anyway in Texas. So I moved and I said, I'm only going to do my artist work. I'm not going to fall into the sideman role, even if it's stable and the income's there and whatever, because I really want to do this thing. I'll only play with people I can learn some from. Yeah. So I moved to town, was a waitress, worked hard on making records and only playing with people I could learn some from, like Justin Townes Earl and other songwriters.
That was great working. You know, you did that.
He was a good dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was very saddened by his passing. You know, but yeah, working with him was great. So talk to me about some of the other people that you met that were really kind to you and were really open and cool.
There's quite a few of them. Buzz Kaysen, he's on a different plane now. And who else was really kind to me? The WMNF radio station in Florida, of all places. David Henry, a wonderful string arranger and recording person. Shooter Jennings, who I'd met in Lubbock, but he was living in Nashville at that time when I moved, and he kind of showed me some fun hangout spots and, you know, people to make friends with. And
Shooter's great like that. He's
he's a connector.
Yeah. And he's just such a good—he's a good dude all the way around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I mentioned to you, like we were on camera, how he told me the story about his dad and the coin toss for the Buddy Holly plane and everything, and just kind of what his dad, you know, had gone through after that. But it's amazing. So I just love the fact
he's a good dude.
Yeah, he's great. And as far as, you know, being out are you really enjoying touring again? Like, is it great to get
out? Well, I haven't toured since October 2023. And that was when my divorce started happening. So I decided that I probably...
When you were part of the 400 for a lot of time.
Oh, yeah, since we were in the van days for a long time.
But, so was that like 2011 or what time would that...
Like 2005.
Oh, wow, that's...
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, do those tours, do my own tours. And then later I started this idea for a group that we put together called the High Women, and I would do that
stuff. That was great, by the way, too. And let's talk about
you.
Brandon and
Maren.
Maren's so talented. So tell me about the when you guys decided to put that together. Was it something you all wanted to do and felt like, hey, this could be a really good idea for great bonding experience? And
well, in 2016, I was riding around and listening to music and then country radio, which isn't something I normally listen to, but it was on, so I was listening, and I just didn't hear any women on there. I heard like maybe 3 songs in 50, and one of them was like a group of people that had a woman in the group. But I started calling radio stations and asking if we could hear more, and then I started recording them on the iPhone and putting the conversations up on the internet. But so riding around, and this was after the birth of my daughter, by probably a year and a half, and I started thinking about it, how odd it was to not hear voices and stories that I could hear or see myself in.
Yeah.
And this is just, you know, riding around, thinking about these things. And I was like, well, what's the worst that could happen? You know, and then I thought, well, my daughter could probably go into country music because they usually tend to do things that you don't do.
And
I said, well, I got to do something about that. And then I started thinking, and I arrived to this idea where, because my favorites are the Highwaymen.
Yeah.
And
how great.
He's so great. And they put that group together, and there's a response to a lot of different things. And I thought, I'm going to start a group called the Highwaymen.
Yeah, it's just a great idea, which is where I immediately, you know, you thought, like, oh, this is definitely cool. You have to, it's a tip of the hat.
Yeah, and I started just writing my ideas down and thinking about it, and I finally got brave enough to, because there's a thing that can happen if you're not careful with an idea that's not, it's just an idea, and you have this idea and you really believe in it, so you got to be careful, in my opinion, of who you share these things with, because it's real easy for somebody to crush your idea if you're not careful or have, I don't know. So I was really careful, and I finally decided I was going to tell Dave Cobb, the producer,
Yeah, Dave's a great, such a great producer. Yeah,
he produced lots of Jason Isbell records in the 400 unit and, you know.
Yeah, and you know that RCA studio that he took over and he does in Nashville is just like, you know.
And he moved to Savannah now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's, so I told him, and he thought it, when he has a daughter, he said, that's a great idea, man.
Yeah.
And he said, have you thought about who to, you know, you'd like to see kind of put together in it, you know? I said, I've made a big list. And he said, is Brandi Carlile on the list? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, you should ask her. And I was like, I don't have her number. And he said, well, she's playing tonight. We'll go see her. And then so we talked to her, and she said yes. And then with that, we were a team and started working on the rest of it.
And Marin and everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. That's great.
Yeah.
Don't know. Just here listening to Billy Joel. The Stranger album, trying to change my mood. Fight the blues with more blues. Lately I'd try anything to get back to laughing, to get back to smiling. Come down. I spend all day just walking around. I help some tourists find Chinatown. McCann's is open, we could burn it down. So noisy, and the music's too loud.
Want to take the SoCal Sound with you anywhere? Download the SoCal Sound app to your mobile device. You could stream the SoCal Sound 24/7. See what song just played on our playlist, listen to an archived show, read an article from our newsfeed, stay up to date, or watch a SoCal Sound session. It's all there, and it's now Apple CarPlay and Android Auto compatible. Download the SoCal Sound app today.
Tell me about you, because you talked about your dad listening to classic rock and country of the 90s, because when you were a kid, right? What was the first music that an artist that you ended up really loving and connecting with musically, things that became very inspirational, that kind of made you want to?
Yeah, it oddly enough, it was like Tom Petty and Neil Young and...
To the greats,
like that. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and then it was George Strait and Garth Brooks and, you know, all the... country folks, Joe Diffie, stuff like that.
Oh yeah, and I think it was just the anniversary of No Fences. So God, you know what I mean. I remember when that record came out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that second album. But it's that's really cool, and you know it's amazing because how someone like Petty and Neil Young, they do have that thing where they cross over. They're inspirational, influential.
And I love Tom Petty's. He's an underdog, a champion for the underdogs.
Yes. always was from the, you know, from the beginning, when they try to, like, you know,
exactly,
try to sell us contract from Shelter Records to the, you know, it's, the story's pretty amazing how that happened.
And I found Leonard Cohen on my own, and I became a disciple of Leonard Cohen's and always will be a forever Leonard Cohen diehard.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I play on my show tomorrow. I play two Leonard Cohen covers into Leonard Cohen. Just so, I mean, because I've already, you know, I put together my music for the show. And I'm just going off side for a minute. But I love Leonard Cohen so much. I played, have you ever heard Concrete Blonde's version of Everybody Knows?
Not Concrete Blonde's.
They do, you know, Don Henley's done it too. But the Concrete Blonde version is amazing. It's from this movie, Pump Up the Volume.
Are you a big Leonard Cohen fan too?
Huge, yeah. In fact, I met him. I introduced Chris Cornell to him because I was with Chris Cornell and Kim Thayil from Soundgarden. We were at the bar at the old, what was the hotel called? It was called the Regal Royal New York City. And Kim Thayil looks at me and he goes, "Hey, Matt, is that Leonard, you think that's Leonard Cohen over there?" And then Chris looks at me and goes, "Matt, would you go up and ask him?" So I literally went up to the bar and said, "Leonard, how you doing?" And then as soon as Chris and Kim knew it was Leonard Cohen, they came up and joined the conversation.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Great.
That's so
awesome. I had
awesome.
To go introduce myself.
Yeah, you had to. Yeah, and he's the kind of person.
So I love Suzanne and like Who by Fire and all those songs on the first greatest hits and then all the stuff he did later too.
You Want a Darker Record. It's like
so
a perfect
great.
Album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I played like First We Take Manhattan on the air this week. I just pull it out and there's so much cool stuff to do. But yeah. But so he was somebody you found on your own. And and Petty, Petty, there's always a thing that people said about Petty too in his songwriting that it seemed like there was a simplicity to it. I go, but it's a masterful, unbelievable way because all the greatest music too also seems like it would be easy, but it's not really to create that.
I mean, I haven't got to see any of the notes about like how much he had to rewrite or not rewrite or whatever, but I would love to see. And all the stories you hear about him just getting in the studio and just jamming until finding things. And
finds that moment, you know what I mean, where something that turns into a song, which is great.
Yeah,
you know?
Wild.
That's awesome, yeah. So you're out on tour now, you're promoting the record, which is really cool. It's good to hear. How does it feel being out again and just being
It's awesome. I was super nervous about it because, like I said, I haven't done it since the end of 2023. And, you know, now, at first I was like, am I going to remember everything? Not just words, but just the little things, like remember during soundcheck to check out what the stage is made out of, you know, and different things that you forget about. And, remember how to respond to technical difficulties or somebody's drunk husband.
Yeah.
And I remembered all these things, how to handle it. It didn't go away, which was good. And I haven't been on tour as a just as a non-partnered person since 2000 and, you know, forever.
Yeah.
You know, forever. So it's really different in a way, you know. I don't have to report to anybody but myself, and that's fun and interesting.
Yeah, and it's a new experience to be doing that as well. How's your daughter? She's good.
She's amazing. She's 10, and she's into the K-pop Demon Hunters, and I've heard that record a lot. And she's into Christopher Cross, and a big fan of. What was that? Oh, she loves Demi Lovato. She's awesome. And she loves to read. She's really good at that, too.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So she's found music that she loves.
Yeah.
It's kind of across the board, which is really cool.
It's just amazing that we have this kind of access to so many different things now, for good or bad. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially when they can find something they love that's from any era. Because, you know, when you're young, too, you don't really... You don't think in terms of, well, that came from that era. Mm-hmm. It's just, especially when it's all new to you.
Yeah. Right.
You know, which is a beautiful thing.
It's wonderful to watch it happen.
Yeah. I think that's great. But so, I just want to tell you how excited I am to come back. You've been to the station here a few times now, right?
So I have, but and every time it's different and wonderful, and I'm always just amazed that y'all would have me back. You always make me sound good.
Yeah, these guys do an incredible job. Yeah, we got to give it to Matt and Tristan.
Yeah, you do. It's the powers in your hands. You can very easily make me sound like a big pile of old toads.
No, but it's great. So I wanted to also ask you, before we head out. So when you're with releasing the new album, are you planning on doing? Are you going to do shows? Are you going to tour for a good part of a couple months? How does that work with motherhood for you and everything else at this point?
It's a little. It's motherhood is inherently to me a guilt-ridden experience, but it is what I do, and when I'm home, I'm completely hers. And
yes.
And during her school breaks, my mom's bringing her up to me.
That's great.
To hang out and everything. And she grew up, on the bus, and she grew up, even when I was pregnant, I was touring. I toured up until the last second.
Yeah.
And she's used to it, and she loves it, and it's a good way to see the world. And and it's good to show her. I think it's good to model, that type of work and that type of, I try to think of it as strength, so that in the event that she has to do a job where she has to be away sometimes, she can think about how, oh, my mom did this, I can, mothers can do this,
Yes.
Like, kind of normalize certain things, yeah.
Yeah, normalize it, but and still have a great, meaningful relationship.
Exactly.
And the time when you spend together.
Mm-hmm.
Is
exactly.
Like something quality and focused on each other.
Yeah,
know?
And we balance it. I'm not going away for a whole year or anything crazy like that. Yeah,
that's good. I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's good that your mom and that we'll bring her out to see you too.
Yeah.
And does she come meet you on the road sometimes and stuff? That's
yep.
great. That's
yep.
so cool. I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah,
she
does. She does. My mom even has gone on the road with me to help sell merchandise before. She's all hands on deck.
That is a cool mom.
Yeah, she's cool. She's
that's
cool.
Great.
And she's retired, but she was a doctor and nurse, so if something happens, she's really good at figuring out how to put stitches on or call the 911 if you fall off of something.
That is so amazing to have that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have that, especially with your daughter.
Exactly.
And with you doing
that
growing up. It was,
it's true. She's true. She's great in a crisis.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I hope I get to meet her, both of them, someday.
I hope you do, too. I bet you will.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I'm really great.
We're coming back down through here at the end of the tour. So in November, yeah.
All right, I'll be there for that.
Yeah.
I'll definitely
you
come to the
definitely
show.
Come. Yeah.
But I just wanted to thank you for coming by and helping us celebrate the release of the new record. It's
thank you for helping me celebrate it. I mean, for real.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it's good to have you here and good to have you performing as well. Thank you so much for being a part of the session today. Love having you here. And, we are public radio, and all about how recently Congress defunded all of us across the country. And if you're not a member, become a member now, and because it's very important. And every donation you make, of course, is tax deductible. It's also just very important to keep great music and creative people. Music that's curated on the radio. It's super important. And to see great sessions like this through our website and everywhere. So it's just, I think it's, we appreciate you. And thanks so much for watching us today. Because this, Amanda, was such a pleasure for me.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you. Right?
Great to be had.
Yeah. It's awesome. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for watching today. I'm Matt Pinfield. I'll be back with you soon.
He's Matt Pinfield. I'm Amanda Shires.
That's right.
Slept in my makeup and most of my clothes. Tried everything I could, but you just wouldn't let me get close. For the third time this week, what you don't know or see is that this is all so very unlike me. Wish I could be everything you need, but I'm not what you want, so let's just get high and watch Tombstone. Get even higher and watch Rambo. Make silly jokes. go. While all his friends somehow managed to keep their shirts on, eating jelly beans with you, stoned in the friend zone. I could be friends, but I'm harboring hope. I wish I could be everything you need, but I'm not what you want, so I'll try and quit thinking of the weight of your hand on my back and coming up with new ways that could make you laugh. And the way the sun set around you at 60 miles, maybe I could change your mind. You caught it big signals over a couple mixed dreams, and I swore I'd quit trying for the thousandth time this week, but that's a lie, and so unlike me. I wish I could be everything you need, but I'm not what you want, so
we'll play some music.
SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 FM, The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Matt Pinfield. Recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Broadcasting over the air at 88.5 FM and streaming on the web and through our app at thesocalsound.org.